the party at?
Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome back and welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat. Woo, I'm back. I have Carl with me.
What's happening, Kat? Welcome back from the abyss of higher education.
Oh, yeah. And we have Stephanie back.
Hi there.
That's all we get? All right.
I don't know. Hi there.
And we have the marvelous Will.
Oh, I'm marvelous now. Yeah. Great. Well, you sent out the bat signal, and you signed the sci-fi party line symbol up in the air, and we came a running.
The big phone. Now, guys, I know that, we've been kind of absent for a couple of months. It's because I moved to upstate New York in Ithaca, New York, and I'm now going to Cornell University.
Yay!
Studying to do.
Congratulations. Yeah. Get your learn on, girl.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. I'm having to deal with snow. Now, I've been a Texas girl all my life. So the snow is weird. The climbing of mountains every day is weird. Boots and fur trim jackets. And like going to Tatooine.
Tatooine? No, it's
Hoth, baby. Hoth.
Yes. Texas was Tatooine. This is
not. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Comparatively so.
Yeah, somebody just turned off the whole podcast because of that. Anyway. My bad. I had a beer. Got it confused. Okay. We won't let that happen again. So we're just going to kind of get into it because, you know, you guys miss us and you want to hear us talk about your favorite shows. We're going to start off with Fringe because, you know, that's our show. Who's dying to talk about Fringe? Because really,
I'm dying to talk about Fringe.
I want you to go first, Will, because this season to me is kind of, you know, I just have a little, you know, guttural.
I've loved this season, the entire bit of this season. Wow. You know, well, okay, the cool part, okay, so like the first and second bit of the season have been so amazing. You know, so it's post Peter just, you know, vipping out at the end of last season, and it is a new universe, says, I think. It's very bizarre, and but it's been really cool. So it's like, but it's been like, well, where's Peter? We don't know who he is. We don't know what his relationship is to these people. We don't know, you know, any of that. And then boom, you know, he comes back, and then the quote evil Walternate turns out to be a good guy Walternate, and this whole thing with Nina. Is she bad? Is she good? Is she bad? Is she good? That was just like, oh my God, so cool.
I don't know. I'm a little exhausted at this point because we had already had clear cut this universe, that universe, blue, red, purple, black and white, 80s. Amber, and then now we're going to Amber. We're Amber, all Amber this year. And it's just like, we had to start all over, which I think is very clever storytelling. And it's good to shake it up, but they're just shaking it up every season. And it's just like,
well, see, I agree with you. I agree with you to the extent that, oh no, not again. But unlike other shows like Andromeda, if we're
going way back, like what are you doing?
They changed that every year. Oh, we can't get back. Oh, it's oh, we can't work for. Oh, wait, you know. Oh, we can't put the thing together because it's too complicated. Oh, wait, it's together. Oh, we can't. You know, we have to do. And oh no, now we're against him. And then he's crazy whip around planet, whatever
it's
that pocket universe thing was. But it was, you know, and they changed the premise, or Earth Final Conflict, where they changed the premise.
God, what are you doing here?
Year.
What are we doing?
Now, this, but
wow, I'm traumatized right now. That was a whole
finishing out the theory, please. And now this season, this show, Fringe, it's not like, okay, what are we going to do now? Oh, well, we'll just change all the rules we just made. No. They have very specific rules. They do very specific things. The whole last season, they did the quantum mechanical linkage of through emotions, the quantum linking of emotions, which is like, oh, that's amazing. That's a cool idea. But that links into the whole thing with Olivia being dosed with Corfexitan, and then now she's experiencing another Nina, or another Olivia, I mean. So she's now she's quantum entanglement through her emotions, and it's her memories, and that is really cool.
I just want them to shag, really. I don't want this because it's like, first of all, they had the will they want they, then they had the alternate, and then they did it. Now the baby's missing, and yes. Then now he comes back, and then she doesn't know him, or she didn't know him, and now he's just like, oh my God, I love you to death. It's funny. I love the cow. I love everything, but you know, give me a freaking break. You know, let me take Carl or Stephanie, because they've been too quiet.
Let Steph go. Steph's got it. She got it.
Oh man, please don't kill me for this. If this were a monster ballad right now, we would be in the gratuitous guitar solo portion.
Scaramouche!
Like, no, this is the part where everybody's doing their own intricate thing and showing their master skills at writing and how many ways can we go on the one plot. Like, this is the part where there's this monster ballad guitar solo happening with tights, and they have like light along the sides. There's hairspray. It's just, there's subwoofers, like literally.
But you're saying this is the writers going, hey, look what we can do.
I don't know if you like it or not, because you know.
When the pyrotechnics come in, it's probably going to be enough. I love the show. I am such a fan of the show. I'm just ready for the guitar solo to end. Like, I'm tired of that. I don't know. There's a lot of loose ends that haven't been addressed yet. And I'm kind of feeling like the last season of Lost here, where there's so many questions, and when they answer some major plot question, then like 40,000 other questions pop up. And
oh God, if they're in purgatory or like in an Avatar situation, I'm gonna just die. I'm gonna slip my wrist. They're in purgatory,
but oh my freaking God, can we just okay? So Broyles, the guy that
died, I love him in his tight shirt.
I love him too, but he's like a shapeshifter now. That is such an interesting plot.
What? Where'd you get that?
The alternate Broyles has been taking over as a bad guy. He's like a shapeshifter now.
He's working with what's his name?
Moriarty.
We have found out now that Nina has been taken over somehow. We don't know which universe that Nina is from, really. This last Fringe episode that I saw, the show ended with Olivia and Nina captured. Yeah. We don't know if that Nina is from...
Ooh, spoiler alert.
What do you mean, spoiler alert? You haven't been watching
for that? No, I watched the last episode of last week's episode, and they kind of did explain that. I won't say anymore, but
no, yeah, say anymore. I watched it. People have watched it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, say it. It's fine. The last one, I don't care.
Okay,
the show's gonna come out.
Well, they basically said that, you know, Moriarty. What's the character name? I can't remember.
I'm looking it up.
Let's
now.
Go with Moriarty.
Thank you. But the guy through the glass, he has been working with the alternate Nina.
Oh. Okay.
She basically walked into Massive Dynamics and stole the Texaflan from their vault.
Well, I mean, that's where it was headed.
I can't do things.
Do we see Broyles in the next episode that I haven't seen? Because I'm.
How did I miss him becoming a shapeshifter? I just thought maybe he was evil.
It was the episode with Peter and Logan came across Lincoln was. Or put him in a closet, basically in a broom closet. Broyles is going to come in and kill him, is what he was.
But how does that make him a shapeshifter? Did we see the actual thing take place, or what's going on?
No, we didn't.
I think it was implied.
I don't remember.
But it was a pretty big implication, though. I mean, it wasn't like...
Well, he was talking to Moriarty, but he was talking to him on the phone.
Well, I thought maybe he just had something on him, and like he's like, you know, I will give you tight black shirts to wear to make you look sexy.
I think they mentioned something about, you know, you've been there for three weeks, you haven't figured anything out. It was something akin to that, where it heavily implied that he was a shapeshifter.
Okay, it's, I remember like, that.
He's a shapeshifter. Yeah.
How awesome is that direction of, you know, they're taking that plot in that interesting direction, and then they just left it. I'm like, no. And then they start with this, now are, will they, won't they sleep together again?
I don't know, because, and then, like, will they, won't they, all of a sudden, oh my God, Peter, just because you want me to love you, I now love you because you're blah, blah, blah. And like, what is that? How does that happen? What does that mean? Well, she had the Cortex fan and blah, blah. Peter, it's your fault because you're here and you're making her love you. That doesn't fly. That doesn't do it. I'm sorry. No. Also, it doesn't work for me.
If she has the Olivia memories, if she has Peter's Olivia memories, then she will remember how hurt she felt when Peter slept with other Olivia with the bangs and the red hair.
Olivia, yeah.
Yes. And then should not go into this whole thing with him. It's annoying.
What? And we lost the, what do you call it? I would keep wanting to call them the other observers. He took him to like the set of Carl Sagan's Cosmos or something. And it was just like,
They gave him a name and took away his life.
That was obvious.
Yeah. And the heavier guy is August, I guess.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know where that came from. I just saw it in the IO article, the IO 9 article.
That's another interesting thing. I mean, the observers, we know that they see all possibilities, all universes are, you know.
We know who they are now.
Well,
we know
who they are.
Yes,
well, who are they? Of him, or is he dead for real, basically, is what I'm getting at. Like, is this September guy really and truly dead, or does he have an alternate person in another universe? I don't know. I hope he's not completely dead, but why would they be able to see all realities and have so many different existing people? I don't know.
Okay. Well, in this latest episode, they pretty much, you know, described they're future human scientists. They're what humanity evolves into.
Right.
And these guys are the, you know, super anthropologists from the future. You know, they're stepping back through, you know, sliders like doorways. Yes, you get that.
Excuse me, what?
Thank you. Yes, you heard it. Which truly, come on, guys, you know that's what we're talking about, because that's what they're doing. They are investigating.
What? I don't get this.
Stop it. Come on. You know, but it's true. It's the only analogy I can think of to describe walking back and forth between parallel.
Right.
Between, you know, parallel alternate realities, and that's what they're doing. They're exploring the the inverse, you know, possible timelines of humanity that may or may not have led to where they are. So that means that they are one possible, these guys are one possible evolutionary path in the future, and they and their, you know, Carl Sagan time machines have stepped back into where we are, into our the slices that we know. We only know three that we've seen so far in this series, and they're dipping their foot in, seeing what's going on. Now, it's an interesting question that you're asking, if September is actually dead. I assume that because he comes from the future timelines, that although he can see alternate timelines, he can go back and navigate alternate timelines, that he only comes from one. So if he is dead, you know, if he's dead, it is likely that we won't see him again, because the variations of Peter's and Olivia's that we see are lower down in the time hierarchy. You know, it's like, you know, these lower pages that are down
and
there.
It's the past.
If he is a product, if the observers are a product of a particular timeline,
yep,
then why wouldn't it follow that there are multiple selves or versions of themselves?
Well, because they're like the navigators. Now, I want to see them again. I hope you're right. But what it seems like is if there were multiple observers at this, you know, you talk about some chaos. You see what's happened when we got, you know, an alternate, you know, Walter and crew, what kind of chaos they're getting into. If you had alternate teams, I mean, not different ones, alternate teams of the same observers running loose and tweaking things, and that would be utter chaos.
I think they exist outside of time, like Doctor Who.
I think they're Schrodinger's cat. They exist and they don't exist. They're one being, you know, one set of beings that exist at all points in time at one time.
That theory really bothers me. But
I'm still thinking of it more as a tree-like kind of thing, because they have a technology. They have a particular timeline it seems like they're coming from, because remember that they say they come from, you know, they say they come from a particular timeline, a possible future, you know, human timeline.
Right.
It is their technology or their knowledge of the technology that's allowing them to step back and forth between the parallel slices and to tweak the path that they're viewing. So, like, they're running us as experiments, you know, the timelines as experiments to see if that timeline leads to where they are. So, because they're running the experiments, because they're investigating, because they're trying to learn, I can't believe that they would know all timelines simultaneously. Otherwise, September wouldn't have made a mistake. There would be no ripple effect because they would know everything simultaneously. So, you know, I think we can pin them down to a very narrow set of timelines and a single set of observers.
Well, for me, I think the message there, the take-home message there, and I haven't seen the latest episode, but from what I've seen of the observers in the past, the message there is these alternate timelines exist regardless of whether or not you intervene. Maybe they think that they're in control of this, but they're also pawns. And that might be the ultimate joke on them, that... You know, they think they're in control. They think that they know this, that they're in control of this phenomenon, but maybe they're just themselves pawns in it.
Well, pawns of what? Of another fate. Observer or just
no,
of reality and Dr. fate?
Reality, fate, you know,
reality,
space,
fate,
time.
Well,
yeah.
I'll buy that. Because the fact that they portray themselves as curious scientists would imply, you know, to me, that one, that they're not all knowing, they're not some kind of God, and that they're trying stuff that clearly ain't quite working. So, yeah. You know, yeah. I'll buy that. So, yeah.
Right. Well, and the hubris there that they are the only ones that have this ability. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Or we're foolish enough to try. That's the other thing.
That might be it. See, I've been thinking since last Friday, I've been thinking about it in terms of, if they left their point in time, went into the multiverse, and then September made that mistake that caused their reality to disappear.
Oh. You mean much like the sliders getting off?
or what's his face from Quantum Leap?
Oh, yes, Quantum Leap.
Which reality will be the one to lead them home?
I'm sorry, what do the small hamburgers have to do, the sliders have to do with this? I don't understand that.
Well, they were lost too.
Yeah,
remember?
Because they were going to, like, different Earths.
And they messed up and they couldn't get back home because they intervened.
But jokes. Yeah. Sliders are hamburger. And I'm saying the sliders.
Oh, the slider. Jokes. That's painful.
That was a stretch.
a stretch?
If your joke were a monster ballad, right now.
Sorry. That's the guy that stayed on. Okay, wow. So that's
the interesting thing that's going to happen. I'm really cool, and Nina was finally an evil person. Because, like, in the beginning of the show, Nina was there, and you figure, aha, she's the evil one. And then you find out, no, she's not really that evil. Okay, she's not really evil. Okay, she's not evil. And now, aha, she's evil. And then it wasn't her, it was another person. But it looks like her, and she's evil, too. So that's in that show. I'm loving the show. I will be closely watching it.
So do we think they're going to get another season? Because they're having some ratings issues. They're having some cancellation scares.
There's a lot of weird stuff going on at Fox. I mean, they still haven't decided on Terra Nova yet. They have House is absolutely, this is its last season.
Thank God.
It kind of needs it, but it's kind of, that leaves a hole, and they don't, Fringe isn't going to rush in and fill that hole, and they need some more, and they need more resources, more cash available, so it might not get renewed for that reason. I don't know. I'm not optimistic. I think they can end it this season after a fashion.
I don't want it to end before it gets better. It needs to get better again.
These last eight episodes are going to be big either way, whether it's going to be in the series or not. I'm hoping it's going to be.
Well, they need to solve something because they need to solve something.
I'll give you that one.
Yeah, they just need to solve like one thing, and I don't know, like after they solve it, I don't know what they would do after that, but I'm sick of the memory loss or the fake alternate this blah blah. Just let them get married or let them, you know, shag or, you know, let them do something together, Peter and Olivia.
They did have that shot at the future where they were married and they were having.
Yeah, and then everybody died at the end.
What?
That's what happened.
You wanted it perfect. You just wanted them to do it.
Yeah, well, I guess they say every, you know, universe he's peaked in, Olivia dies or has to die. Dun, dun, dun.
Man, I thought you were going to say every rose has its thorn. I was going to go back to that step.
Okay, so this let's wrap up Fringe right quick, but I kind of want to go into Alcatraz just for a little bit because that show is struggling too with the ratings, and I just want to get out there that Alcatraz to me seems like a three-story arc that should have been on Fringe and then dropped. I mean, every week you know weird prisoners come from the past and out there doing crime and blep. I don't get it. Okay. So, Steph, defend your show, because I don't get it.
Okay, honestly, we're talking about big, giant leaps right after we talked about Fringe. I mean, how many big, giant leaps happen in Fringe that you totally accept wholeheartedly?
Yeah, but it's been on for a long time, though.
They did lead us into those.
The first season.
Was X-Files.
I don't know. I actually like the show. I like the conspiracy behind it. I like the questions. I think questions are okay when you're just starting out in the show. I mean, having a lot of questions because that keeps me interested. I watch for one more week. I love Hugo. I love Hurley. Soto. That's what his name is in the show. I love him. I love his character. He's so charming. And he's funny. I'm warming up to the female lead in the show.
I don't like her at all.
I'm warming up to her. She's getting better to me. She's kind of earning her keep.
But her hair bothers me.
It does bother me.
And if you have bad hair, I don't know, I can't watch a show.
You know what, though? I get the suspicion that it's growing out. It's like, I'm hoping for like two more episodes that she's gonna get like a longer bob. But anyway, that aside, it's cute hair. I mean, but she's kind of like scrappy kid hair right now. She needs to step up. Anyway, but then there's, I don't know. I like the idea that no one has the complete answer here. I mean, yes, there are. It looks like there's a secret government, you know, Department of Maleficence or something. Like,
yeah, but the whole thing is like, why would you do that? Why would you even come up with a story like this? Alcatraz is so mysterious, and then the prisoners disappeared, and they disappeared through time, and somebody's bringing them back through time, and like, why? I don't get.
Are any of these criminals when they show up? Are they superpowered or anything?
No,
they're just regular criminals.
No, they just
show
back up, and then they like
keep find doing their criminal thing.
They find a key and then they commit crimes and they try to live amongst whatever. And then, like, I don't get it. Like, what are they doing? Why are they here?
Like, almost like they're Terminators. It's almost as if they've been programmed to a certain extent to do one particular deed or crime. I don't know if that is because something has gone horribly wrong and they're cleaning up, or if it's was always supposed to be that way. That's one of the answers that I have yet to see taken on in the show. But there is this sort of conspiracy theory going on, and there's a mystery every week. There's a different character. There's a different prisoner every week, and they're getting more and more grisly and more kind of meaty in their characters. It's meaty in that I'm more invested in who they are and what they are, regardless of whether or not they're a monster or if they're misunderstood. And that's cool to me. I watch for that. And then of course Soto Hurley. He's such a great comic relief in the show, but he's also really smart. He reminds me of a whole bunch of my friends, you know.
Well, I mean, the fact with, you know, it's Hurley and then they have Mike G doing the music, it just reminds me too much of Lost. And it's like every time I'm listening or I look up and I hear the score and I'm just like, oh, God, this feels like Lost. And I'm seeing Hurley and I'm hearing like little bits of like style.
And there's an island in the Pacific.
Well, I don't know. I'm not feeling because Fringe, it's based in government conspiracy and weird things that, you know, that we all know about. X-Files was like that too. The mystery of Alcatraz, I don't get it. Like, was there something that happened that I don't know about?
It hasn't been answered yet. They've got.
I'm talking about in real history because, you know, in real history, there's things that go on in X-Files. They kind of like expand upon like LSD and what it does for the brain, and they kind of expanded on that in Fringe. Mm. But in Alcatraz, like, was there actually a mystery in history that was the seed to plant this show? Where does it come from? Where does the idea come from? Why do I want to
get a sense? I do get a sense that they're sort of going the way of X-Files when they infer that the government was way further along technologically than they let on in the 60s. And so the X-Files is kind of that way, that the government has developed or has found this alien technology and developed their own aircrafts similar to that and building upon this alien technology. And so I feel like Alcatraz is starting to kind of insinuate that, yeah, back in the 60s, we had serious technological advances, or we were further along than we let on. And this is just one of the experiments that went on. I'd be interested in watching that. It's not like it's completely brand new. I mean, obviously it's catering to fans who like this kind of story to begin with, but it's new enough, and by God, it's just beautifully produced. It's really? Got the score. Yeah, it's got the score, it's got the nice effects, it's got the better actors for me. I mean, I'm talking about the new crop of shows that came out. Like, yeah, I'm hanging on for these new crops of shows to get better. And it's just like really hard.
Yeah, I will admit.
So hard for me.
Yeah, I will admit it does look nice. I mean, you know, and the effects, a lot of invisible effects, which are very, you know,
I didn't notice any effects to be impressed with. Honestly,
with a lot of, you know, I don't think they film a lot in San Francisco, and they also do shots like, oh yeah, this shot, this area is right above the area where the fair is. No, it isn't. It's miles and miles apart, and they put it together, but they do put it together in a nice way, and it looks good.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just talking to
effects. I'm just saying that it's just not enough to really like.
Oh yeah, no, it's not enough. But it does look nice.
It just I don't get the basis of the story, like why Alcatraz, and like speed it up and tell me now because I'm losing interest. Everybody's losing interest. These ratings are dropping. You know, come on, give us something. Like, why should we care about this show? Yeah, it's just random crap. We might as well watch CSI or something. I mean.
Yeah, it's almost, you're right. It's almost that generic, but yeah.
It's interesting. I guess it's because I've always been interested in Alcatraz. Maybe that's why I'm predisposed to liking it. I've always been, it's a kind of a mysterious place. It's you know, notorious. It's hard to escape from Alcatraz. It's isolated. It's on its own. Why wouldn't they have the freedom to experiment on these poor prisoners and take their blood and get away with it, you know?
Yeah, only to have them escape one per episode and come out and do crimes for reasons unknown, and then some of them have a key to someplace unknown, and then like what? We're making them not dream, so they don't dream, so that's weird, and then they look the same.
Well, there's this ongoing storyline where her grandfather was an inmate, and you know, he's clearly done bad things, but maybe he is not the man that he seems. Maybe he's not a horrible criminal after all. It's sort of ambiguous where they're going to take that character. There are other characters on the show, like the very first pilot episode guy. I don't remember his name.
He's from not Harry Dresden Files. It was a South African sci-fi show he was in. Wait, where is he from? Dresden?
Well, Charlie Jade?
Charlie Jade, thank you. He's the guy from Charlie Jade. I love him.
His character is clearly...
sexy?
Sexy, but he's also a good guy. Like, it's clear already that he should not have been in Alcatraz to begin with. Like, he was on a trumped up charge and they sent him to a maximum security prison. It's clear that they are picking these prisoners. They handpicked these 1963 prisoners. For what purpose, we don't know, but they are picking them for their skills. There was the one guy that was, he worked outside on bomb shelters. Well, at the very end of the episode, we see that these prisoners are being taken to a bomb shelter that has been made to look like an underground Alcatraz. This is stuff that they're setting up. It's just taking a while to get there. But I'm interested enough to continue watching it.
You've sold me on keeping with it and watching it, so I'll keep watching it, but right now it's just like I don't know. Did we sell you, Carl, because I know you don't watch it at all, and we didn't really spoil anything, but does that even, you know, with our discussion you a little?
The problem is I think the lore that she has described in terms of more advanced technology in the 60s than they let on, and where that, I think that is really interesting, but I have a sneaking suspicion that is just a wisp of what the show is about. I'm not, that's why I was asking, well, are the criminals superpowered, or is there something, because...
they're coming back as the same as they left, basically. They're coming back the same age.
Yeah,
so that's different.
This just feels like a time kind of thing, because
they have this, like, we're taking all this blood. They keep mentioning this. Why are they taking, why is an able-bodied man spending so much time in the infirmary? Why are they taking so much blood? So their prisoners are coming back the same age, and then we found out that the doctor, the Indian doctor, is also from the 1960s and has not aged. So what's that about?
And
then the doctor that's smoking cigarettes in the infirmary,
like straight up Battlestar Galactica style.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, he's there smoking it up, and he hasn't aged, you know. So there's something going on. Also,
vampires.
Time traveling vampires.
Clones.
Yep. Vampires.
Clones, people. They're clones.
Oh, yes.
Oh, androids. Androids.
Androids, yeah.
They wouldn't need the blood.
Not like Terminator. Terminator.
Oh, Terminator androids.
Never say that at the end of Terminator.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a high school reunion. Let's get on.
Okay. Okay, speaking of new crops of shows, we are moving on to Grimm. Grimm, I felt about Grimm at the beginning like I felt about Alcatraz, but it's growing on me. They're becoming, you know, actual people with personalities, and the story is, you know, really interesting. Who wants to start?
I have liked Grimm from the beginning.
Oh, get off your side.
It's true. I mean, the premise was kind of silly. Okay, that's we had, what, the two fairy tale theme series busting out this season. You know, we had Grimm and Once Upon a... What's that one called? Once Upon a Time. Yeah, Once Upon a Time. So when they both came out, I was like, oh, come on. Of all the possibilities of television shows, we got to get this fairy tale themes at the same time coming out season-wise.
You already had Supernatural. Why are you...
Well, but technically, that's still not fairy tales. That's still not quite fairy tales. It's monsters, but not...
And by the way, Castle coming out with the fairy tale episode, what the hell? It's like a trend. Okay, go on. Yeah. Sorry.
I was a little reluctant, but curious, you know, when it first came out. And I thought the women on Once Upon a Time were much, much hotter. So immediately, I was biased. I was immediately biased toward that. So I was like, well, let's see this Grimm thing. Let's give it a shot. But really, from the first episode, I liked the silliness of it. I liked the subtle hinting of the fairy tales. It's not beat you over the head. Clearly, fairy tales going on. It's just a spin on it, and it's subtle. So I like that, and they sort of bring it up to date, and they make it interesting. They make it amusing. I like the werewolf guy. He's my favorite character on there. And from the beginning, I was like, oh, I hope he comes back, because it wasn't clear he was going to be the sidekick buddy from the pilot. So and what he brought to the show was really funny, because when you first start watching, you're like, oh, where are they going with this? They walk a line with Grimm, and you're like, am I going to buy into this premise? You know, am I really going to go with it? And then he comes in, and he's just got this hilarious kind of deadpan quality to it. Like, you know, you guys are just figuring this stuff out. It's been going on the whole time. Yeah. You know, he just brings something about his comedy and craziness, just brings a certain realism to the insanity of what's going on. And he makes it great. So I'm not a big fan of cop shows, really. So what they're doing is making it fresh, making it interesting. It's familiar, it's fun. I've just been digging them all. They keep getting better to me.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie,
me too. I've watched it from the beginning. Because I live in Portland and it's set in Portland, I kind of had that sort of, before I even watched it, that I was going to like it for that. But then I'm like, kind of crappy special effects, but I'm going to hang on. Oh, God, this guy's helmet hair is killing me.
That hair was horrible.
We again with the hair, ladies, really?
No, he was like a Christopher Reeves and Brandon Routh, but who else was he a hybrid of? He was just like, that hair was horrible.
Cocktail. Every time I see that, I still see
Tom Cruise. Okay.
So then his partner is like so underutilized, and I'm like, when are they gonna?
They're gonna kill him. They're gonna kill him off.
I don't think they're gonna kill him. I think they have to bring him into the fold pretty soon. God, and the lady with the weird face. What is her name? She's got a scrunchy face. I thought she was going to end up being like an actual fairy tale character herself. But
from the beginning, the lawyer lady?
No. Like, poor girl. Like, this is her actual face. This isn't special effects.
Who is she related to?
No, she's the fiance. There you go.
You're talking about the fiance. Oh.
Yeah. She's so strange and she's annoying, and I hope that she dies. But anyway.
Oh, harsh. Well, look, I don't have the same reaction to her. However, you're talking about underutilized. I've kept forgetting he had a fiance for the first six shows. I mean, really, it was like she was nowhere to be found. And I was like, dude, well, I genuinely didn't even know that she was there. And then, you know, they put her in peril, like on episode 6, finally. And like, oh, that's right. She's still there. And she came off kind of tough because, you know, she broke a battle with a guy.
Off my lawn.
But yeah, I thought she was underutilized. I honestly thought she was going to go. Because just to start that, you know, dramatic tension, and now he's free to be a crime hunting, vampire killing dude.
Wow.
But,
I think the reason why I don't like her face, it's because she's always like upset and sulking, and maybe if she smiled a little bit more, then she would be a completely different, beautiful person. But I think, unfortunately for her, the writers have cast her to be like chronically unhappy about things. But okay, so with all that said, I will tell you the things that have improved. Dude's hair has got some texture in it now. It's not.
Well, I'm going to watch it.
He's a product.
There's texture in the helmet. It's looking more natural. They have a rapport now with more cast members. This is good.
Yeah.
We're investing more in characters. Awesome. Also, they have a lingo. They have their own German funky lingo that they use. And it's hilarious because I find myself using that in sentences now. Oh, yeah. And so that is cool to me. That is like geek rule number one, use crazy lingo. And then also they have their own mythology now. It's kind of carving itself a path that is different from some of the stuff that we've seen before. Yeah. So when I first watched it, I'm like, it's good, but it reminds me too much of a lot of other shows that I know and like. Now it's sort of pulling away from that. It's paving a path for itself. It's got its own mythology. It's got its own lingo. Hair is so much better. Maybe Scrunchy Face will smile, and then I'll like her a lot better. And I like seeing all these places that I literally go to every day without
Portland,
all the fairy talk.
Well, I really, you guys didn't mention my guy, Sasha Ruiz. I love him. Mm-hmm. He, you know, he's from our show, Carl, Caprica.
Yes.
Watch
out.
Yeah. But I love, he's like the same character.
But I was about to say, you typecast. Does
yeah,
he look
pretty? But, you know, I don't mind it. I love it. I like to see him chopping off ears and, you know, ordering priests to, like, munch on a guy.
It
so
was
really,
literally the same dude. He's playing the same dude.
Yeah, he is. But, you know, the only, you know, thing that I have against is he's not taking off his shirt like he did in Caprica. Killing people with his tattoos and naked. But the thing that I found very interesting is that when the characters, the fairy tale characters, are under duress, their face change and they automatically see the grim. What we haven't seen, or I think we haven't seen, is how Grim looks went to these other people. We've seen rat face, we've seen dog face, cat face, whatever. But we haven't seen, what does the Grim look like?
Interesting.
And I just really want to see that.
Maybe it's a shimmer. You know, maybe his face doesn't change. He just kind of like lights up or something. Maybe it's his hair. They can tell from the helmet. Helmet hair, they go Grim.
That makes perfect sense.
That would be it. He's got that He-Man page boy from way back.
Wait a minute. A natural hair. No, I think I've got an idea for a series. Wait a minute. Let me get some notes.
Well, I like natural that he hair. Has his little trailer of love or whatever it is, and he has his, you know,
trailer of love. No, it's not
okay,
love.
Trailer of like research with all these weapons, and you know, like how Buffy always had the crazy books that they can go to. So he has his crazy book bonker and. I really like how the blue bot went in there and he was like, oh my god, this is the holy grail of grimology and I'm in here. Ooh. And I just like the way that they're responding. I do agree with you, Stephanie, that they are breaking away from other shows and I'm fond of it. I'm fond of what they're doing because they're not boring me. So they're rising above whatever they were doing at first. And I hope Alcatraz can do that, but they haven't so far.
No.
Well, I hope they do too. It took me a long time to finally feel comfortable saying that I like Grimm, Because
it just started pretty early. It was like third episode.
Yeah, but like I wasn't feeling comfortable about it. I'm like, oh man, I'm betting on a losing horse here. You know, now I'm like, you know what? It's a solid show. It's getting there. Yeah, the special effects could be a little bit better,
I don't mind them. They don't bother me.
Oh, they just.
I'm used to watching like Earth Final Conflict and stuff. So,
I'm used to watching like Fringe and Alcatraz, where it's like all these famous people are executive producers, so it's super polished.
Yeah.
And this is a freshman show, so you know it's got to live with what budget it has. So that's okay.
They're backing off of the budget on the product that he used in his hair.
No, somebody took a scissors to that poor man's front of his head, and Lego head hair set is gone.
That's like a Lego.
It was! It was like detachable Lego head. I just want to say, you know, and then I'll be quiet. Sasha Ruiz, his character, at first he seemed really evil, but now there's that ambiguity there again, where is he really evil or is he watching out for him? What's going on? He's obviously ordering some priest around to kill people. Like, what is this prior to morals? You know, and that's interesting because the Grimms, the fairy tales, always had a moral. It was to teach children a lesson. So is this before there was that kind of black and white thing that was projected onto this world? It's like where people can't be, you know, both good and evil at the same time or have gray areas. He's proving that, yeah, he's bad, but now he's apparently protecting Nick somehow. He, you know, these people want to move in and kill Nick, these outside forces, and basically he's asserting his territory, his turf, and saying, no, you can't kill him. He's got a conscience, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, are we sure that he's doing this because he's trying to protect Nick, or is he just trying to protect his block right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure, but
when you send in the, you know, the vampire kung fu minister to kill all folks, I'm not sure that's an ambiguous fan.
Excuse me, pardon me. I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've forgotten this from my early childhood. Which Grimm fairy tale had the vampire in it? I don't remember that at all.
You know what? Just calm down.
It's a premise I'm asking. It's a question.
Have his little thing, man. Don't be so technical. Tricky. No.
Hey!
Right? Pot kettle.
We prefer the term trekkers.
Oh, there you go.
That's where sliders comes from. Okay? Spawn a vampire.
Well, I'm interested in Sasha Roy's character. He is acting like a godfather. It seems like he's protecting his territory. You can't come into my, you know, you can't come on my block. I'm going to slice your ear off and send it to somebody, and then somebody's going to send it back to me and then make a little weird phone call. You know, you can't do that. It is also curious that he's like, is he a police chief? Or something like that. Well, he's over Nick. And I wonder if he knew about Nick prior to Nick knowing about Nick. And that's why he hired him. Was there some, you know, maneuvering going on? So.
Well, his mom seemed like a pretty, you know, rough customer. So he probably knew about her. I mean, it seems like, given the fact she had the kung fu wagon back there with all this, and she was in his precinct, you know, in his district. I'm pretty sure he knew about her. That's a good question. So it'd be safe to guess that he probably suspected something about how that'd be passed on, or that maybe Nick would be next in line. So that's a good question.
Yeah, because at the beginning it seemed like he was evil, like Stephanie said, and that he was trying to work against, and then that was a crazy blonde lawyer lady who kind of disappeared, and we don't know what happened to her. And I don't know what his motives were at the beginning, but now it seems like, yeah, he is helping Nick. So what was the earlier behavior, and then what is the behavior now, and where are we going? But I don't really care, because I'm enjoying the ride that we're doing right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's definitely interesting, and I really like the richness of his character. I mean, they're adding to it, and it has several different dimensions. He's not just one-dimensional. I feared that at the beginning of the show, that too many of the characters were one-dimensional. Well, now we're getting into something. We're getting to the meat of the matter.
And I like what you said when you were saying that the series is getting fleshed out and is more dimensional, and it sort of feels richer, and it has its own mythology. It takes... That's a very rare ability for a good, crazy show to pull off. You know, it's really tough with sci-fi, some other things, but that's what really sets them apart. And it's also why I give, you know, crazy sci-fi kind of fantasy shows a little extra time, because you can't build that in two episodes or three episodes. It takes a little bit of time to create the language, to create the environment, to teach the audience the rules. And then if they get the rules down, if they get the language down, if the characters are just strong enough, then you can start to build a space that people will believe. And it's play. Mm-hmm. You can play in that. And I'm with you. I sense the potential of that pretty quick in Grimm. Here's the thing. It is also very easy for series to screw that up early on. It's like they have the potential, they've got the framework, they can build it, and then they just go off the rails where somehow they lose one of the frames and the whole thing falls apart. Like, let's see.
Is where we mention Heroes.
This is where we mention
the sad thing, Heroes did great, you know, for a while. I was thinking more like, what's our one that just went ridiculous with the flashback one? Flash Forward. Flash Forward. I mean, that's probably the best example where they put all the pieces in place to create a rich mythology, and you were learning the rules of the flashback, all of that, and then they just screwed it. You know, they just, we don't care what we showed you before. The people you like will kill off. You know, so it's easy to screw that up, but you do have to give it a couple of episodes, and you got to kind of hang with it sometimes, because it takes a while to build that frame, and they pulled it off with Grimm.
Yeah. I wish the ratings would do better, because I think they're kind of suffering a little bit.
Grimm? I thought Grimm was doing well.
Let's see. I was reading Airlock Alpha. Maybe I was... Oh, no. Yes. Yeah, so I'm looking at the wrong thing. Grimm is beating out Fringe.
Yeah. So, Grimm's doing well.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Guys, let's take a break, and we're going to come back and do The River and The Walking Dead.
Woo! Because, I mean, I was...
Oh, dear. Look at him.
My eyes are getting salty, like when I blink, it stings.
When's the last time you brushed your teeth?
I can't remember.
God, who's calling?
Don't pick it up.
It's like people don't respect, like, our space.
Just don't pick it up.
You know who would never call? Starbuck.
No, Starbuck isn't that dependent on people. Like, Starbuck, I think, like, wouldn't even call anyone.
Great!
Next one!
Whoa, wait.
What?
That's the last one! Satisfying finale, that's it.
Then there has to be another one.
There's not!
I get my job, we're losing our house.
They owe us!
Who wrote it?
Ronald D. Moore.
He has to write more episodes.
Yeah.
You know what? We'll find him.
There he is.
He lives here.
He lives in Portland. We have to go to his house. We're going right now. Come on, get in the car.
I got it. Go. Ah, legs are cramped.
So, guys, we took a little break, and we're back, and we're going to start talking about the new show, The River. Now, I haven't seen that many of you on Twitter talking about it. The River is like a horror story based on somebody's travels on... Somebody else explain that, because I think... I'm doing a good job.
All right. Well, it's as best as I can piece it together. A naturalist and his team of reality show folks, you know, went out and where the heck are they? The Amazon?
Amazon Basin.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Went out in the Amazon Basin and filming their reality show and. Well, they're trying to appreciate all that there is to nature and what's going on out there. But then he learns about a secret that he finds in the wilderness, a secret that is beginning to possess him and his team. And they go to find out what is the answer, what is the secret that the wilderness has for us. And he and his team get lost, and they're lost. And his family is back home thinking he's lost his mind, and then they can't find him. And so now a second team of reality show
camera crew folks are funding the effort to find the doctor and his lost team of folks out in the rivers of the Amazon, and that's where we pick up.
And the show is spooky. It's sort of like Ghost Hunters or Blair Witch, but not really, because that's going to turn you off. But it has that same little horror feel. It's like lost footage type of a show. And the first episode was really like Lost to me. They even had a smoke monster. They were talking about the source. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm not going to watch this because it seems like, you know, it's in the Lost universe. But something happened. They started doing their own mythology. And I never thought of the Amazon River as being spooky or scary. But everything, there's something supernatural going on out there. The U.S. government is, they're onto it. They know that there's something spooky out there. They call it the source. So we don't know.
We think it's the government. We think it's the government.
So
it could just be a giant corporation.
Yeah, it could be somebody, because there's a kind of like a bounty hunter that knows about the source, and he's trying to prevent people from getting there. But, you know, there's something spooky. There's like spooky dolls. There's a smoke monster. There's like, I don't know, zombie tribesmen or something that comes after them. And it's all really ridiculous, but somehow I love it. I really like it. The ratings are dropping for whatever reason, but I don't know. I'm just into it. And I told Stephanie about this, and I told her watch it because it had a horror element. And now I'm ready to see what you think about this show.
Okay. So first I watched the first episode. And the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh, kill me now. I'm going to hate this. This is stupid. There's terrible acting. Oh, my God. I hate every single one of you on this show. Please die. And then 10 minutes into the show, I texted Kat, like, as it progressed.
Why are you making me watch this? I can't believe the commercials aren't faster.
And then, you know, 10 minutes in the show, I'm like, ooh, that was a little scary. And then, like, 20 minutes in the show, I'm like, oh, my God! Ah! Freaking out. I love it. I love it. But I did feel a twinge of guilt because Kat has told me in the past how silly I am for watching, like,
oh, come on.
And Paranormal Activity 4 and all that. Yeah, so I was like, but this is totally like that.
I know, but I haven't bothered to watch those, so this is new to me. So it's like, oh my God, this is totally new. I've never seen any. I don't watch Ghost Hunter. I don't watch Paranormal Activity. So they're on a river. It's different.
I like the suspense. I love the special effects in the show. I love them because they're subtle for the most part, except for the big scares that are not so subtle. But all throughout the show, every single week, you get that suspense building special effect, that thing that you think you saw out of the periphery, and you're like, what the hell was that? And don't know what that was, but you keep watching, and then you just get scared. You know, you just build it up to the point where at the end of the show, you're like, oh my God, it was so good! Oh, it was so entertaining! Okay, so the thing that I don't like about the river, I do not like the terrible acting in the river.
What's
but
so terrible luckily, about it? Because it seems standard.
Oh my God. God, I want to kill myself every time that guy opens his mouth.
Which guy?
The sun.
I think he's foreign. I think he's like Australian, so it sounds like he's doing bad acting, but he's trying to do regular acting in a regular American accent. So I think that.
Man, why couldn't he have been raised in another country? Like, they could have written his accent into the show.
Well, remember, he grew up on the Amazon with the family, so, you know.
As far as I'm concerned, he's annoying. And then there's the blonde chick who's super sexy, but kind of like
girl next door.
She's the appendix to the show.
Oh my
We've
God.
We've evolved beyond her. We do not need her anymore. She does not function as any part of the story.
You haven't seen the latest episode, is all I gotta say.
Okay, fine. Fine. Maybe she'll redeem herself, and maybe I want to kill myself when I see her. And then there's the lady from 24.
No, Jack Bauer's wife.
She's so annoying. I'm like, could we just kill her off? Because I think I might be able to handle poke me in the eyes voice guy that I don't like. And I think I might be able to handle appendix lady. I do like
appendix lady. Oh,
God.
Learn a name, all right.
I do like the
I think the person that I find annoying is Jael.
Yeah.
She bothers me.
Yeah.
I don't like scary supernatural people because I just want to smack them for being delirious.
I'm just always afraid she's devolving into Deanna Troi.
Oh my gosh. You
know? I feel great pain. Something is coming. Could you really be more specific? And it's not even in English. Something is coming. What'd she say?
I like that there's subtitles. I like that like if somebody, you know, spoke Spanish and they want to kind of check out the show, that maybe that half of it is spoken in language that they can understand. That's what I liked about Lost too, because they spoke.
You know, the fun realism of having a different language doesn't bother me. What bothers me is the vagueness of the Deanna Troi psychic. Something is coming. I feel something. Oh, there could be danger there. You know, could you narrow it down a little bit?
Wait, really? Here got me was the tarot cards. It's like as soon as she broke them out, I was ready to like slit my throat. Seriously, like kill me now. But yeah.
All right. Look, here's my thing.
Okay.
About this.
Go ahead.
Paranormal Activity, Blair Witch. The first thing is the kind of effects that they have with the shaky cam, as the subtlety of the effects imply a certain cheapness that bothers me. Okay, because we know that whatever is going to happen is not going to happen on the beautiful HD cam that, you know, they've got set. It's always going to happen on that crappy little handheld black and white security cam that's panning back and forth on a fan. Come on. We know you're going to... They're spending $8 on the special effects. Right? You see the pop guy's hand turning the doll head. I'm like,
oh, my God.
Oh.
That was creepy. Oh, my God.
No, that quote special effects are going to be garage brand quality, you know. So they have to depend on the mystic nature of that, which by itself, okay, fine. I'm used to indie films. I like garage bands. I'll try to endure that. But here's the real thing that bothers me. Is that in their effort to build tension, you know, as the story progresses, they'll be there, we're going, okay, now this is leaves, this is not my potato chip, so go with me on this. We're going into the Amazon, and they're walking through the feed, and then all of a sudden the music will crescendo, dun, 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 the camera will pan, what was that? And there's a dude eating, you know, like potatoes, you're like, what? You know, is that so the music crescendos, the camera pans, and there's a guy just like, what? Oh, I just dropped my phone. I'm sorry. Now, that mess bothers me. Because if you go to crescendo, if I'm already using $8 special effects, don't be, you know, throwing that kind of crap in there to distract it further. Because what I think they're trying to build tension. It annoys me. And the problem is that the effect that they finally bring around that's supposed to say, ooh, something's really happening now. And it's a doll head turning. It's a native dude with blood on his face leaning into the camera. Ooh, that's the crescendo that we've got. Or, you know, when they really go out, it's when the camera statics out and falls over. That is when the real stuff has happened then. The camera has gone static. The tripod falls over, and that is the... something terrible has happened. So... Out of all of the episodes that we've seen so far, the only thing that was a flake of an effect that they really had was the dude in the vines. That was it. That was the only thing. Was the guy suspended in the vines?
Well, they had a ladder underneath him that was.
I'm going to give, because at least see everything else just was barely. Supernatural was just barely. I mean, you know, the camera.
The first episode was totally a smoke monster.
But when you say the smoke monster, again, how do we see it? There's static on the cam. The camera falls over. There's, you know, there's a darkness. I mean, it's, and it's not even on the good camera. Again, it's a black and white. For some reason, somebody brought a black and white Super 8 camera on the mission. You know, and that's the one, of course, that captures the smoke monster. So all of this, I'm trying to go with the suspense and I'm trying to enjoy the quote tension where we know it's just a guy dropping a phone in the corner, you know. I just opened my book over here. It's like, oh, come on. Come on, again, we're doing this. So with all of that, you know, it feels like a constant tease. And my problem and my fear is that after all of this leading us on, after all of this pseudo-crescendo, that the payoff is going to be weak. I'm afraid that the payoff is going to suck. And so I'm trying to hang with these episodes. I'm trying to follow along. But there had better be some kind of real payoff at the end of all of this insanity.
You know.
Or I'm going to be very, very upset with the river.
Well, I think the episode that y'all haven't seen is going to... Well, I'm not going to talk about it.
All right, well just tell me this. Does it going to have a real effect in it? Does it have a real special effect? Oh, see, that is not selling it.
It's going to have a Grimm effect on there. There's going to be, like, the effects on Grimm.
Yeah,
okay. So, there's going to be a slight Grimm
effect. I must say one thing. The simplest, easiest, oh my God, it's going to take 4 seconds to do this really easy effect with this very bad, you know, very bad camera, always, invariably take the longest amount of time, and they are the toughest to do, to get them to look decent.
Because there was only one of them, then they must have blown the budget on that one.
And, you know... I haven't seen the show. I don't know what it is, so I can't really comment on it.
You can watch for free.
Yeah, look, I'm going to tell you, okay. I have a great respect for special effects. You know, I'm a fan for all types of varieties. But when they start with the low-resolution camera, when they start with the black and white with the time stamp thing in the corner, you know, you need a freaking Amiga to render something like that. You don't even really need special effects at that resolution. So if you're going to do that, at least get me something that's going to sell it. So then to throw the static on top of a low-resolution shot, it's just... Trust me, you think it starts like that.
You think that's how it goes. No, it doesn't.
Well, there's magic in this show. Let me tell you, Dr. Emmett Cole, he's Captain Pike from the new Star Trek movie. You have, of course, Jack Bauer's wife from 24. You have, Harry Dresden from Dresden Files on there, and I don't recognize. Oh, you have the black camera guy, and he's from somewhere I know, but
isn't he from Misfits or something? Like, he's familiar to me.
I haven't said that to people telling me to watch it. I'm gonna watch it, but yeah. So I think these actors, I'm kind of excited for them. Yeah, the son is a little weird, and Appendix Lady is not so cool.
So annoying.
And then Jael with her weirdness is But
I feel great.
But you know what? I also thought when I was watching this thing that this could have been in space. This could be easily Firefly because they're on a ship. They're in unknown territory, and weird things are happening. So if you kind of like twist your brain a little bit and make these weird things aliens, or it is like they're on the Enterprise, and they have the Deanna Troi, they have the captain, which, you know, I guess she'd be Janeway, the wife, which is not really good to say, but you got your Seven of Nine, Carl, which is the appendix.
It's got all the stuff I like. It's got the isolation. It's got the claustrophobia. It's got the mystery and suspense. I like all that stuff. unlike Carl, I love those subtle effects. They freak me out. So like, I think of all the episodes, I really liked the pilot episode with the flying smoke monster that like took a big chunk out of that lady's leg.
Yeah.
When he passed her. That was scary to me. I loved that.
Wait, everybody stop. Wasn't that Pook on page 3 when we turned around? That's too subtle for me. I'm sorry.
So, okay, it's also very much in the style of Paranormal Activity, like, very much in that style. So, to me, I liked those movies, those kind of blink-and-you-miss-it kind of tips or hints towards the plot, you know, towards the mystery plot.
But was Paranormal Activity this interesting? Was it this interesting? Did it have this type of, you know, mystery of the Amazon and the source and stuff like that? Because I thought it was just like some people in their house and they're doing Bloody Mary. And it's just, I did not understand.
The first Paranormal Activity, I think, was the best. And it did have that because the camera was always on them. It had those things that you know that, you know, as the observer, are happening because you can see them happening, but the people that you're watching do not know that they're going on. And it creeps me out. So, like, the freaking doll with the eyes and then the hair and the mouth so much.
But we've seen a doll's head turn before.
How much are they spending on this show?
We've seen a doll's head turn.
Oh, she's in quicksand now. That's paranormal.
And then she got spat out like the end of Poltergeist or something. It was ridiculous, but I loved it.
Listen, what happened is you've seen it before. You know what's going to happen, but it's still creepy.
Yeah. Dolls are weird. I wonder when they're going to do the clown episode.
Oh, no. No.
There's a clown on the Amazon. Yes. If they and do he, that,
at a carnival.
Oh, doll. God, not the carnival, please. No.
I think we lost Will. Will just said, call me back.
Oh, that's why he's been quiet. Oh. I was like, wow, he just really doesn't have anything to add. Okay, let's get him back.
He just blacked out on us.
Okay. But yeah, I don't know. I really love this. Like I said, it really feels kind of sci-fi to me, but you know, not, it's not. I love that the ship is all broken down and they have to find parts. They have to, you know, keep fixing it. And I like that nothing's perfect. And, you know, I never thought of the Amazon as creepy, but if you watch stuff like, I guess, An Idiot Abroad or, you know, things, nature shows or what travel shows, it's just not all it's cracked up to be. You know, it's a really hard place to live. And I don't know, I appreciate it a little bit.
Well, yeah, and the fact that explorers have actually disappeared.
Yeah.
In the jungle, you know, I mean, this is something that has actually happened in the past.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, there's that element there.
Yeah.
It's cool. I think Hael, God, she's always on the verge of tears. Always. She's got these big eyes. And like, always.
Oh, what's happening?
That's Will.
Will, what are you doing?
What? I haven't done anything.
Are you vacuuming? What are you doing?
He doesn't know what that sound is. He can't hear it.
Oh, hold on. Better?
No.
Really?
See what's happening is your mic is adjusting for background noise. And remember what I was telling you? You had a. I was like, what's that fan that you've got on?
Yeah, it sounds like a fan or a vacuum.
I thought we lost you to the Amazon.
I know.
It did sound like the smoke monster.
It did. It did.
This show's a bunch of crap. Will?
Will, oh my God.
There's only three of us left. Oh my God.
Let's turn on night vision and bra.
What's going to happen on the next party line?
Tarot cards.
The Hanged Man. I didn't like the locust. Did y'all see that one yet?
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Like how she's like, I must get the iPhone. I do that. I put my hand out there to get my iPhone.
No. I do. I had flashbacks to Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
I know. It had to be snakes.
Oh, that was so nasty.
Well,
is that a little bit better?
Yes, that's better.
Yeah, you're good. So, Will, from us talking about this show, you haven't seen it. Is this something that you think you want to watch?
No, it sounds like crap. No. I decided I didn't want to see it based on, you know, it's 8 episodes, so it's like, I get interested in it and not eight episodes.
Have you heard something that I haven't heard?
No. The series is eight episodes. It's eight episodes. That's it. It's like a series from Britain. You know, like the first series is the series.
Carl, who is that?
That's me. Hold on.
I'm blaming Carl. I thought that was his dad again.
That's not me.
You seriously mute that.
Pick it up. It's the ring.
I'm so scared right now. It's the phone from the 80s. Let's wait for his tape answering machine to kick on. Sure, hello.
That's good. What if I decided not to watch your show? Yeah, it's a limited series. You know, it's a limited series episodes. The producer, the guy's producing it, you know, it's all the Paranormal Activities guy. And I'm like, I don't really like that genre. I don't like either.
I gave Stephanie crap about liking that, but when I saw it, I gave it a chance. I mean,
that's why I decided not to see it. I mean, I could watch it. Maybe I'll watch the first episode and see if anything, you know, gets me or grabs me. To be honest, though, I'm never really scared by things I say on TV.
That's not the thing. I mean, it's the
It's that scary. Scary doesn't work for me. Yeah.
You have a heart of coal, man.
No. I have an eye of a special effects guy, so I can see, you know, pretty much through everything, which is kind of a pain. Yeah, it's kind of a pain. It's great because, oh wow, I can pull apart.
That's too much jadedness, man. Don't be so jaded. Just. Maybe watch the first one. I don't know. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I will watch it. And if it get, you know, hopefully it'll be cool and all.
I don't know.
There for the last two episodes.
We'll do a report on it.
A fair job of building tension. I'll say that. but my, like I said, my concern is if you're going to build tension, I need a real payoff. And if this series, you know, or this miniseries or whatever, you know, ends with more questions and, you know, things are just up in the air, I'm going to be very upset. I'm going to be very upset because I'm enduring, you know, $8 special effects. I'm, you know, sounds off camera that the camera doesn't pan fast enough to see because, you know, that's drama. Not that they're broke and they're not doing real effects. So all of this tension had better lead to something that is significant.
They have to start. At some point, somebody will just come up with the idea of, here's an idea. Why don't we have big cliffhangers and then we have little ones in the episodes? And then we'll do three little ones, and then there's a big one at the end. And then we'll do three little ones, and there's a big one.
I think you need to watch the latest episode. That's all I gotta say.
Right. Just as someone who has always been a fan of this kind of cinematic, of these kinds of cinematic effects, I have to say they have a built-in audience. And if they were to come around and change what they're good at and why people like it in the first place, and maybe actually you get to see the big bad, I don't know. I don't think I would like it as much. Like, if it suddenly came in with giant special effects and something with tentacles came out and a bunch of teeth and...
So basically you say Cloverfield is what we're talking about. Because that really did suck. You're right. It took the whole genre of handheld horror and just put the toilet.
That is so what I mean. Alien snot spores and then terrible, terrible big bad reveal at the end. Yeah. Hated it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, if people have not watched the Paranormal Activities or Ghost Hunters or, you know, I don't know. You might give it a shot because for me, it's different and new and something I haven't seen before.
Yeah. Saw it. It was called Blair Witch.
Oh, positive, please.
No, there is no snot. No snot. You know what? There's bad hair.
Yeah.
There's worse hair. And then there's no snot.
Okay. So that's enough on the river. We're going to get to the meat of the podcast and we're going to talk about The Walking Dead.
Oh, man, I forgot. Yay.
Oh, my God. So we've come back for the premiere of the second part of the second season because they split it up, blah, blah, blah. We're like 3 or 4 episodes in, and we're still on the farm.
Yeah.
Still on the farm. But there's some exciting things happening, and I just kind of want to hear you guys' response to it. I want to start with Stephanie.
Oh, I loved this last episode. I loved it so much. It was so great. Oh my God. It was just such a long time coming. The major scene between Shane and Rick and how they kind of like talk it out man to man in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the road. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, that's my kid. And Shane's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And then he's like, yeah, I totally know that you think that's your kid, but that's my kid. And I'm like, okay, something terrible's going to happen. They finally make it to the place. I don't know what that was, a penitentiary or something. And then they fight. And I was just like, yes, kill Shane, kill Shane, kill Shane.
Okay, so we now have to ask what side you're on. kill Rick. Okay, all right. Here we go with that.
Oh my God, that was so great. Yeah, because they've been building up to it. Shane has been getting out of control now that he like is a skinhead now or whatever. And it's just ridiculous. And he's like getting like more ghetto or something. I don't know what's going on with Shane. And he's trying to possess Lori and, you know, just treat her like an object and things like that. And she doesn't like it, even though she's like, he called her olive oil and she acts like that. Like she throws her little hands up, her little stick arms. Hey, Papa.
Yeah. Ooh, wait. When she did the Lady Macbeth put in the ear that he's dangerous, Shane's dangerous, oh, we have to take care of this problem. And then Rick breaks the fourth wall and he looks at you dead in the eye.
Can you believe this shit? Yeah.
Amazing! That was so Shakespearean.
I think that was cool. The whole thing with we have to deal with another person wanting to commit suicide, and this time Andrea is involved. Mm-hmm. I think Andrea was a little out of line.
Oh, I think opening the bathroom door and saying, go ahead, was pretty much that. You could define that as out of line.
It's like, well, she's kind of like Shane in that they have, they're right, mm-hmm. right? But they go about it in such a wrong way. You know, that, yeah, she does need to make a choice to live. It in ultimately in this situation, that annoying girl that went into shock, she has to make the choice to live. It's her choice to make and blah, blah, blah. But the way she did it, the way she went about doing it was such a wrong way of doing it. Just like Shane opening the barn and killing off all these people's loved ones. He was right, but it was such a wrong way to execute that. And sorry for the pun.
But then you have to think, like, what other way could that have taken? Because you've been trying to talk to the guy about the people in the barn. They don't need to be there. They are dead. I mean, what do we want to do? Science experiments to see if they're dead. How do we want to handle that? Yeah, it was bad to just, you know, open up the barn and clow, 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 you know, just. But I don't know. I'm from Texas. We like to get to the point. Let's get it done.
That's it. Yeah. That's how they do it now. Yeah. That's the practicality of it. But the one thing is, I saw the last episode the same week I saw the first episode of the recurring stuff because I had it just sitting on my DVR.
What's wrong with you?
I never got around to it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so you didn't know what was in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh my freaking God! Is that the ending of the thing with the? Oh God! Oh my God! They put her in the. Oh God! Yep. I'm glad I didn't see it before because I'd have killed myself. Like, oh my God!
Oh my goodness!
That was I think that was good. The first episode back, I was like, "Oh, that's so stupid." I'm like, "No, it's good because there's tension and there's you know we're over here, we're over there. There's a new guy. No, the new guy's dead now. You know, it was very, very, very well done. It's obvious that they've changed where they were going in a direction, and now they're going in another direction.
I don't like it.
It's the bus, and we have to slowly move the bus to turn it all the way around. And by the end of this season, the bus will have turned entirely.
And, what don't you like about the direction, Kat?
I do not like staying on the farm, because the first few six episodes, we were in Atlanta, we were in the city of Atlanta, we were at the CDC, we were at these different places, we were running into different characters, we were meeting different people, and it gave us a sense of journey. There was always action, and then now this is a big, you know, as the zombie turns, it's a soap opera now, and it's just, I don't know, it's I get that, but they had a little bit more in adrenaline, and now, I mean, I understand that in a zombie apocalypse, if you have a farm and it's safe, yeah, that's where you want to be. Logically, yes, that's where they're supposed to be, and they should stay there, especially if Lori's going to have or not have her kid. However, it does not make for good TV. And then all you have, you know, are these people just fighting with each other, ready, you know, some people sleeping in a tent, some people's yelling at somebody because they, you know, it's just, I want more.
Yep.
I agree.
No, I agree 100% because the feel of the journey is part of what made the series so rich in the beginning. I mean, you got a real sense of scale of how devastated everything was. Everything was just gone. Highways are jacked up. The cities are jacked up. Nothing is working. And you could see it as they were going in each place. Oh, is this going to be the safe place? No, it actually imploded just then. You know, it just kept getting worse. So I like that because, I don't know, it felt like a new show every week. And at the same time, our characters were the anchor that tied all that together. I don't like Little Zombie on the Prairie. I don't like that bothers me as well. I'm always happy when somebody gets in a car. You know, I know there's nothing that's just got crazy hicks in the town. I don't care. Please, just go to the town. Something, please. It drives me crazy on the farm. So I'm hoping that we will eventually start moving on again because the girl's not there. But, you know, now we've got the pregnant mom. So, but I'm with you on that. I love the characters. And this, you're talking about building tension. I mean, this is tension. This is what I like. Ain't nothing rustling off camera. You got real tension happening between the characters, between, you know, the action. You got zombies in your garage. That's tension. That's what I like dealing with. But I do miss the movement, and I do miss, you know, seeing things in each episode that was new.
But this season is more nuanced. I kind of appreciate that. This last episode, when, you know, there was this tension between Rick and Shane, and it really came to a head. And
as you are,
there was that part in the episode where you weren't sure if Rick was going to leave Shane behind.
I thought he
might have.
I didn't think he
would. Because now I know Shane does not exist in the comics this far into it.
Right.
So I thought he might have actually died. But when he came back and they're in the car and Rick's kind of just telling him the same old, kind of like, well, we have to be diplomatic about things. This is how it's going to be. You have to trust me. I'm a leader. I can take care of everybody. It's like Shane just tuned out. He tuned the guy out. He's looking out the window at
the lone zombie walking alone in the field.
That's me. I can relate to that guy.
Exactly.
Seriously, that actually said a lot. I mean, mm-hmm. He's either alone and alive, or he's going to be alone and a zombie. I mean,
that's it. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And that was the whole thing with, you know, him cutting his hair off, and that's a Japanese thing. You cut your hair off because you're leaving the family. You're leaving all the traditional stuff. You just cut your hair off and you just go. And
for my Painkiller Jane or something.
I thought he did that because to hide
Jane. Oh, sorry.
I thought he did that to hide the fact that Otis had pulled out some of his hair. That's what I thought he did.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that is it. I mean,
going through a transformation or something.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I thought would happen.
Yeah, I'm sure it rolled up into all sorts of different layers, but the primary thrust of that was that he wanted to hide the fact that he had turned into a monster.
Yeah.
Really.
Didn't manage to do that, did he?
Well, yeah, and so there's that physical transformation, but there's that psychological transformation, again, with the nuances. I think that's so well done. I love this story. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to be on the barn for much longer, because do you see how skinny she is? Oh, my God, I cannot sit around and wait for her to get pregnant.
I know, and then she had a job where she actually took those pills, but she threw them up. I just really want, I'm not taking a stance on abortion or not or whatever, but I just to move the story along, I hope she took enough of those to where some weird, ridiculous thing happened. And we don't have to see the baby, because once the baby, you know how like when Scully had the baby on X-Files, she just wanted to start. This is, I don't want the baby. Bathwater baby, let's just take him out. We don't need it.
Well, and then, you know, the crash. That probably wasn't the best thing for the baby. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I'm not a woman, but I'm going out on a limb there and going, maybe not a good. But, and then she killed two zombies. Again, probably not good for the baby. But,
good for her and the baby.
Well, good for her, yeah.
It wasn't zombie food. But, I'm ready for the mood. I want the barn to explode. I want something to happen, because I need them to go to like Iowa or Nebraska, wherever they were going.
Well, they're not going to the military base, but just I miss urban combat with zombies. That, I mean, you know, hiding under the tank some more. Oh, bring me some of that.
Let's dig zombie guts and put it on ourselves and walk amongst them. Well, I don't want to do that again, but let's, because they were just freaking us out every week with something ridiculous, and I just enjoyed the shock of that. And now I'm just.
Well, this last one with all the zombies coming out of the building, you know, after Shane throws that whatever.
Yeah, we saw that with Otis like the other day. Was it the same freaking building, it seemed like? I mean,
they had the same
stupid fences. And
going to the school. Yes,
I'm making air quotes. I don't think that was the school, but I actually think it was the school.
Sadly, I believe it was
the same area.
Yeah, it was the exact same school that they were hunkered down in, defending it from the aliens in the other series that we were watching.
That school
is bad news. You got zombies inside, aliens outside.
I feel like you have to go to that school. My God.
Hey, guys. It's a prison, or it seemed like a prison. And the cool thing about that episode is the first two zombies that they ran into were guards, and they mentioned, I don't see any bites. Do you see any bites?
Yeah, I wonder what that whole conversation was, because, like, what did we accomplish?
Well, have they experimented on prisoners before? This comes back to Alcatraz, too, but I had forgotten about this. Yeah, there have been instances in the past where people have experimented on prisoners, because that's a captive audience, and that's, I mean, we have sort of fail safes now in the research domain because of these incidences that have happened in the past.
How are you getting that was a prison, though? Now, I do realize there were the two, you know, sheriffs or whatever outside. Right. I didn't get they were wardens, though. I mean, with the people that a dude had a tie on was coming out of that window. Where were there the prison guards?
Maybe it wasn't a prison, but there was definitely some sort of detention-like vibe to it because of the barbed wire fence.
Well, yeah, I thought Shane that was protecting themselves from zombies, though.
They did have on one of the walls in one of the buildings, it said public works.
Shane's trapped in a school bus. Why would they have a school bus for Shane to get to fight?
Well, if they were using it as a staging place to put the people, you know, from the zombie apocalypse, they would have to bring them there with the bus.
Come on.
Well, it's possible.
The same school from Falling Skies.
Yeah.
That's an avenue for them to go down. Like, I think that is that little gem, that little pearl that they left for us is really super important.
I don't know. It felt like a turd. It felt like a little turd they left for us, not a pearl.
Well,
they
have any bites, because they went on with this conversation. It's just like, dude, they're dead.
They don't have any bites. That's creepy to me. That means
a big deal.
There's a way to become a zombie outside of that. I mean, both the fact that both didn't have bites, like, it's interesting.
Yep, maybe it's getting airborne now. Yes, you know, you never know.
That's what they're talking
They're
about.
Like, it must be the scratches. Well, holy crap, they're getting scratched all the time. You
yeah,
know?
And Shane cutting his hand so the dude could lick it was not helping much.
Just gonna say.
Then he's riding at the end with his fingers in his mouth. I was like, yeah, that's zombie blood. Why are your fingers in your mouth that can get inside of you? And you can, what are they doing?
Yeah, we need to tighten up the physics of the zombie blood stuff right
zombie
now.
Zombie blood, ooh.
Yeah, because that was getting a little dangerous. There was definitely someone's gonna need a nap.
At some point, they're gonna have to go. Wait a minute, these guys are dangerous and they're infected. Why don't we like do something like, oh, I don't know, stay away from them.
Well, all they were doing was trying to get rid of that one guy, and they didn't get rid of that one guy, and I don't know why they wanted to get rid of the one guy, and I don't know why they didn't cap him while they could. You know, just yeah. They capped one guy, but then
they get to not cap him this week.
I don't know. Okay, so I'm sorry. I have to admit this. I have the Walking Dead board game. I think that guy is like a recurring character in the comic because I recognize he looks very familiar and his name looks familiar. So he might actually survive. I don't know for sure because I still haven't read the comics.
The other thing about that is, he might be a character from the comic books, but the thing is, with Shane being around, he might be viable or not viable. It's just
right.
That's true.
I don't know.
But I'm digging The Walking Dead. I really am. It's a good show.
I mean, it's good. I buy it every week. You know, because I don't have cable anymore here at school.
Oh, you poor little child.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I'm living in, I don't know.
My world?
Well, yeah. But I don't have an actual TV. I had to leave that at bunk because it couldn't fit in the Jeep. So
what?
Oh, my
God. You strapped that puppy to the back. How you left the
I don't
TV?
Know. Well, because I was like, well, I can just stream it from iTunes. And so I buy it every week because, I don't know, I have to. It's The Walking Dead.
Easy TV IT.
Yeah.
That's all.
So, okay. Well, we did it, guys.
Hey,
we made it.
I think this was a long behemoth show, and we can end it. Any last words? Anybody want to mention anything? You know,
can't wait John to see Carter. The Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, yes. I'm so excited about the Hunger Games.
John Carter's coming out.
John Carter.
Yay.
I'm hot and cold on it. I don't know, but maybe. But it doesn't look good leaping. I don't like the leaping effects. But a lot of the design is very nice and everything. There are a lot of cool, I mean, Avengers and
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider. Did you see
Underworld.
Ghost Rider?
No, I haven't seen any movies since I was.
Idris Elba. Yeah.
I can't wait to see Prometheus.
Right. What about this Wrath of the Titans, part two of Clash of the Titans with Liam Neeson and all those guys? I can't believe they made another one.
Are you, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? There's a sequel?
I'm not kidding you. And it's
I say one thing. I looked at Clash of the Titans like, oh yeah, no, not going to see that movie. I've seen some of the clips from the new movie. Like, ooh, this looks
Yeah, they did that last time. They fooled you. It's coming out like this month or next month.
Release the Kraken.
Yeah, but it's Liam Neeson, so I have to see it.
But no. Back to Prometheus. Have you seen the Wayland?
Yes, I have. Prometheus is going to be so glorious.
And see this. It's on the web. It's waylandindustries.com.
I'll put it in the show notes if you haven't seen it. I'll put a whole bunch of Prometheus stuff up for you.
And it takes you to his TED Talk from 2023.
Oh, God. It's
awesome. Cool. It's amazingly well done. And it's... I like the actor a lot too. What's his name?
Guy, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Guy Pierce.
Guy Pierce, yes.
That's Guy Pierce? That's not
With his voice.
I thought Guy Pierce was a James Bond.
No. He might be. I don't know. But that is, and it's kind of they've upgraded the TED Talks too, which I really like the look of it.
Yeah,
it's a brilliant, brilliant piece of film. Good. I'm looking forward to that. Iron Sky. My friend I have a friend who worked on the Iron Sky, and he went to Bulgaria or Austria, one of those little Scandinavian countries. What's the one with IKEA?
Sweden?
Sweden, thank you.
I know. Bloody American.
I just fucked up Lego while you're at it.
But Mark, my friend, he worked on the show, and according to him, it's a laugh riot from beginning to end, and it's just amazing. And he, as I said, he did the special effects for it, so he it's that aspect of it, and I'm so looking forward to seeing that movie.
Oh, Nazis!
Yeah. Hey, if you have to see, if you have to see one Nazis invading from the dark side of the moon, make it this movie.
Bold statement, sir. Bold statement.
Bold statement. Oh, Carl, don't do that. You was like the last time we spoke. You gotta see Iron Skies.
No, I'm excited about it. I'm just teasing about saying if you're gonna see one movie about Nazis coming from the dark side of the moon, that's really a wide selection to pick from, you know.
Yeah. it's the feel good Nazi movie of the spring.
Oh, that's, wow. That's
So, have you guys heard of Bloodshot? That's another comic book movie that's gonna come out.
Bloodshot or Deadshot? I've heard of Deadshot.
It's Bloodshot. It's like the only comic that I remember from when I was a kid in the 90s. Well, I wasn't really a kid, but a kid-ish.
Kid-ier.
Kid-ish.
What's it about? I don't know the story at all.
I don't remember much about it, but I think I'm going to go and see it. I just remember this dude with huge guns and like muscle guns, but also real guns.
Okay,
there's guns. We'll check that one out.
We'll put a link to the show notes.
Muscle guns and real guns.
That should be the tagline.
Another very good movie out, and all the footage I've seen from it is very positive. It's Brave. The new Pixar movie.
Oh, yeah, the redhead. Yeah.
Oh, that character is brilliant. Just very, very subtle animation, and just they're doing amazing things. I think it's going to be a very good story.
It's Pixar. They always do good stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, they haven't missed yet. Well, with the possible exception of Cars 2. But still, you know. I liked it better than Transformers.
Dear God. Okay. That's our show, folks. We're going to wrap it up. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. We have a website. That's scifipartyline.com. You can leave a comment there. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome back, Kat.
Whee!
Yay! Woo! Hey. That's back. Yay!
It's like Freddie being okay. I'm
where do you live? Where are you?
Three buses later.
She lives in Portland.
Yes, Portlandia, which I'm told is very accurate.
So accurate. It's awesome. I can't wait for them to do a bus sketch now.
They did, with a recent episode, they did one on garbage. Like, because in Texas, we just kind of throw stuff away in the one place. But I got here to Ithaca, and there's like five different trash cans for like different stuff. And I stood there the first time, like, I can't just throw something away. Jesus, I have to think about it.
Standing there holding her bag going, wait,
yeah,
what?
I stood there for a while looking like an idiot,
plastics,
like, what do I do?
What is this?
No, plastic, like compost?
Paper? Yeah, compost. And then they have little warnings like, if you throw it here, we recycle it. If you throw it here, it'll stay
it's
in a fit over
is that what it is?
And I'm just like, wow, that's negative. And then,
oh, God, that's here too. I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me with what is later? Landfill, and one is labeled recycle. Like, please.
And then it's
like in Starbucks, right?
Kill the whales if you throw it here. I mean, it's just horrible. I just want to throw something that, like, you guys get paid for this, and y'all go on strike and don't work for like weeks at a time.
just can you take care of it? I just want to throw something away.
You used to live in the practical, let's get it done, let's do it part of the country, and now you live in the northeastern, dare I say it, more liberal areas of the, of the country, and they're more like, we can't just do it, we have to overthink it.
Oh God, Carl's dad is calling for tech support.
Oh God.
It's gonna be a while.
End of line.